I want to speak this morning about staying awake or waking up, about being alert. I want to speak this morning about normal life. What is normal for you and I? What is normal? So we pray to the Lord. Jesus, we are in unique times in history. We see it. We are awake and we care. We ask you that we would be useful, filled with your Spirit, magnify your Son's name. Be wise, awake, in Jesus' name, amen. A couple places to start. Turn first to Matthew 16. We'll move around a little bit in the beginning, and then we'll see what the Lord does. Matthew 16. Verse 1, 2, and 3. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Maybe there are already a lot of signs from heaven already all around us. We'd like a sign from heaven, like an exploding cloud in the sky or a miracle of some kind. Show us a sign. Well, there are signs everywhere. Ask a child about a dog or an ice cream. A child is filled with wonder all the time. They are amazed at things. But when we get older, we get dull, indifferent, bored easily. But Jesus said this to them. He said, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. So this is an ancient meteorologist who can tell you about the weather by looking at the sky in the evening. If the sky is red, then it'll be good weather the next day. And in the morning, it will be fine weather today, verse 3. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering in the morning. Oh, you hypocrites. Oh, you hypocrites. There are people playing games all the time. And they are empty, phony, lying, not honest, not humble. Jesus had a problem with these people. He said, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? And one obvious sign of the time was he was there. He was talking to them. That's a sign of the time. He said no sign would be given but the sign of Jonah in the whale, in the fish, for 3 days and three nights. And so the Son of Man would be in the earth 3 days, three nights, be raised from the dead. That's the sign, the empty tomb, the resurrection of the dead. So we are living in a time where we are watching globally events around the world. Turn to Matthew 24 regarding the days that we live in. We have verse 4. Jesus answered, take heed that no man deceive you. That's a good warning. Could anybody be tricked, deceived, rabbit in the hat? Bending spoons, tables levitating, miracles, prophecies, stargazing, astrology, palm reading, demonic activity, the occult. Could we be deceived by the media, by government? Could we be deceived in the church, by the teaching in the church? Could we be deceived by a friend? Could we be deceived by a movement or a trend or social media? Could we be deceived by drugs and medications? By the way, I had a gentleman in our church call me the other day. He said he was clinically depressed, that he called a psychiatrist, and he said, "What should I do?" I said, "Why don't you suffer with your depression? Why go on medication? Why get addicted to medication?" He said, "It's funny you said that, because I know this medication, and it's very addictive." I said, "Why would you take it? Why wouldn't God heal you, or God help you, or fill you with the Holy Spirit, or teach you how to think? Why wouldn't God teach you meditation and prayer and faith and obedience and become somebody alert and awake? You take a drug, what will it do to your mind? How foggy will you be? How undiscerning, how deceived you could be. What do you think?" So I talked to him like that because he is a friend and he received it. Why, you can't be depressed for a while? Why not? Why, you got to be happy all the time? That's not reality. Is that reality, to be happy all the time? Happy, happy, happy all the time. Some people are that way. Many people are not that way. But what does the Bible teach us? You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What about Christ? I am the way, the truth, the life. What about the Holy Spirit? Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, and the fruit of it is love and joy and peace. There you go. Okay, so what Jesus said about the end times, look at verse 5. "Many shall come in my name, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Well, you have Afghanistan, the Taliban, as we see on the news, have moved in. We see verse 7, nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Famines, pestilences. Pestilence, COVID-19. Wait a minute, okay, that's over. No, I guess it isn't over. Is there a variant? Not a variant. And then what happens after? Then another variant? Another COVID virus? What is happening? When will this come to an end? Oh. Is it going to come to an end? There will be wars and pestilences and famines and trouble. Trouble. I don't want to be in trouble. Well, that's the point of our message this morning, to provoke you in thinking with me and the scripture on this subject. There will be earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And then we have on through a text that, look at verse 12. "And because iniquity shall abound," verse 12 is very insightful, "because iniquity," that's another word for sin, "because of the sin abounding," this sin abounding, then what happens to love? It becomes cold. Love is cold. Love waxes cold. Neighbor turning against neighbor, maybe, maybe. Coldness, broken relationships, broken hearts. So this is the portion there. Then I want to show you one text before we get to the is in Daniel. And I felt some weeks ago the Spirit, you know, wanted me to bring this text to your attention. I know that many of you are very vigorously studying the Bible. By the way, Bible study, Bible knowledge, as you get older, you thank God that I've been taught the Bible. I understand the Bible. The Bible is getting into me. I am a worshiper of God with the Bible. And you end up just saying, wow, I am so thankful I invested my time, my heart, my mind in Bible study. Because it means everything to you. As you go through life, there's a way of living that we're going to look at in a minute. But notice here, this is the fourth beast, or the fourth kingdom, which is referred to as a beast. Verse 15, chapter 7. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. He was privileged to see life, the history, the coming kingdom, that he saw the kingdom of Christ coming way in the future. And he saw before the coming kingdom of Christ, he saw something terrible. He saw a kingdom that was terrible, and it shook him. It affected him. He was so moved by it. I think of sometimes tragic things affecting you and I so deeply that it just shakes us to the core. And this is what happened to Daniel. He saw something terrible coming, a terrible reign of terror, a terrible time in history, the likes have never been seen before. And he saw that, and he saw what it was. Every Bible teacher that I read, every theologian that I have read, everybody will say that this is a sequence, and we are at that stage, this fourth kingdom called the Roman Empire is called Revived Roman Empire, the time of the Antichrist. Many times in my parents' day, there were Christians that believed that Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist. And it was in the evangelical circles in the United States back in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. And they believed that Hitler was the Antichrist. And they are correct in a sense, because there are many Antichrists in the world, 1 John 2:18 and 19. But he was a perfect, a very good example. How much he hated the Jews, how arrogant, how powerful, and the fierceness of the Nazi political power. The fierceness, no mercy. The fierce, incredible strength of that civilization. And what they did worldwide was incredible. But that's nothing compared to the period that we are watching as perhaps the United States declines in its global influence. It's declining morally because of the things that we are embracing, and our government is declining. It will one day decline economically, and I really believe that that day is coming. And the rise of a global government is coming, and that's that fourth beast mentioned here. And that government will have power over the saints. Now look at chapter 7, verse I think it might be just good to read down through verse 16. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. If I could do a timeline like this, I'll put here, I got the wrong. Is it up there? Okay. Which one was it, that one? And how do I get this? Okay, thank you. It might not work. Thanks. Go. Okay. Verse 17. It might be better just to... All right. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. This is this millennial reign, this kingdom coming. The saints of the Most High will take the kingdom, come to the earth for this 1,000 year. But before the 1,000 years comes, there is this fourth beast. Yet this fourth beast is described here. Verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others. Why is he diverse? Well, I think the technology, the financial power, the ideology, it's extremely strong, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron. You think of a German panzer tank, the strength of those tanks, his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, stamped the residue with his feet. The beast is like an animal, but actually has the covering of a human. So there is two, there's an interesting, when Daniel and the king Nebuchadnezzar, when he had the vision, the king had the vision and Daniel had the interpretation, he looked like the image of a man. But later in chapter 7, when he defines those kingdoms, they are beasts. And it's a good picture of how it looks like in our culture we are very human. But it's only skin deep. Behind our civilization and the veneer of it is something very dangerous. It's a wild animal. And these wild animals are defined like a lion, a bear, a donkey or an ass that has wings, that's very fast, that was the Greeks. Now we have a kingdom that is exceedingly fierce. So we have gasoline, airplanes, explosives, nuclear weapons. We have powerful tools. We have a kingdom that is able to take the world and have the whole world as its power base. So this is what he's describing. Verse 20, and of the 10 horns that were in his head and of the other which came up and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things. This is the propaganda. This is the mouth that is arrogant. He has a big, I call it a big mouth in Revelation 13. The Antichrist has a big mouth. And he looks more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints. And what happened? This is the verse I wanted you to see. The horn, the Antichrist, made war with the saints. And what happened? Prevailed against them. He prevailed against them, against the saints. Remember in Revelation where it says Satan will throw you into prison for 10 days? Remember that? The first 200 years of Christianity, the saints of God had no power over the Romans. But the saints of God had another power, and that was God, God's Spirit. The growth of Christianity, for Christianity was better than paganism. Christianity is better than paganism. In our world today, here in this country, we revert to paganism. We're going back to paganism. But you can't get anything higher than the Christian life. The Christian life is an alert life, awake life, informed life, spiritually understanding life. The Christian life is the highest kind. It's love out of our hearts. It's wisdom of an amazing magnitude. It's given us such a rich culture, but we're moving away from it. But that's okay. The Antichrist will one day prevail over the saints. He will kill them. Revelation chapters 13 and 14. There many will come to Christ in the tribulation period when the Jewish 144,000 Jewish preachers are evangelizing in the world. We read that Revelation chapter 7 on Wednesday night. Now go to this, please. It says, verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. That's the second coming. Until the Ancient of Days came. This is Jesus Christ. That's his name. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. The Father has given all judgment to the Son in John 5. And the Son is going to use his saints in judging. 1 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. There will be a kingdom on the earth. Isaiah 11, Isaiah 65. It's a very important part of our prophecy of understanding where we are at, what is going on in the world that we live in. How much authority will Satan have against the saints? I believe before, we do not know what the Taliban will do with the Christians that are in Afghanistan, but it could be that our sisters and brothers in Afghanistan will pay a great price for their Christianity. Maybe it does happen at different places at different times that Satan is able to throw them in prison or Satan is able to have them murdered in the will of God. We are sheep in the midst of wolves. We are people that are to be awake. We are people that are called to a special kind of life. And there's a couple ways to handle it. One is to say, I'm out of here. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about the second coming. I don't want to hear about the Antichrist. I don't want to hear about the end times. I've got my garden. I got a couple rose bushes. Come on over and see them. They are awesome. They are big and beautiful. Well, we love rose bushes too. But life is more than a rose bush. Okay, so go to the next verse, please. It says, verse 23. Then he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. How much? The whole earth. Will this fourth beast, it will not just be in Babylon or Persia or Greece. This will be a kingdom that will devour the whole earth. Okay, so, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. The 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings. I don't want to teach that just now because even though it would be in the sequence, but because of time, I want to kind of move along. I want to provoke you to study it and think about it and understand it as we get to the message, which we haven't gotten to yet. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. The communists did that. They changed holidays. Christmas was not a holiday in Romania. They change the holiday, take away Christmas, take away Easter, change the times, invent new holidays, celebrate other things. This is like easy to do if people are in authority to do it. So they will do this. They will be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. And the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Hallelujah. We will be given the kingdom. Wow. Wouldn't that be amazing? Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions that serve and obey him. Okay, now comes the last part, and just a simple teaching for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Did we get the iPad working, Pastor? No. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn there, please. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5, we're going to have the word night here, night, and then the word day. What happens in the night and what happens in the day? It's explained here, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you all have no need that I write unto you. Why not? The times and seasons, I don't need to write to you. He has already spoken to them about the coming of Christ. We read that in this epistle. He taught them. He also, 2 Thessalonians also. He taught them about the rapture, which will happen. And this is something they are anticipating, but nobody knows when it will happen. But there is what's called the rapture of the church, the plucking out, the quick snatching of the church out of the world. That is so important to us. We will be taken out of this world. Everyone is wondering, how bad will we get to the fourth kingdom? The fourth beast is here. It's the revived Roman Empire. It's operating. The satellites, the telecommunications are going, the global mentality, the man refusing to say that he has the problem. He can build a better world. We are evolving. We are improving. We can build a better world, a world of peace and love and fruitfulness and prosperity. He's always believing those things. Always, no matter what happens, he's always going back to that idea. We are different. We are saying there's something wrong with me. I am a sinner. There's something wrong with me. I want to know God. God made the world. What's going on? We are different. We fear God. That's the beginning of wisdom. There's something wrong with me. I'm living here now, but in every age, anybody who would be convicted of the Spirit and say, there's something wrong with me, I need Jesus Christ, is the answer for my life. He is the one that I need. But the world doesn't hear that message. We preach the gospel. Some hear it, some believe it, some embrace it. We are born again. We understand that. The new birth, the Spirit bearing witness, the interest in the Word of God, the love of the brethren, the love of the body. We are people of the day. But there are people that are people of the night. So look at chapter 5, verse 2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. I'd like you to take that little phrase, thief in the night, and change it to the meaning is thief in the night. You wake up in the morning and the bicycle is gone off the back porch. Where'd it go? A thief snatched it. I didn't know. It's a surprise. It's gone. I thought it was locked. I thought it was safe, secure. It's gone. That's a surprise. A tsunami in the Pacific Ocean could be a total surprise. You're at the beach and the tsunami overtakes you. You're shocked. There's a wall of water coming very fast. COVID-19 was maybe a very great surprise. Pandemic, what is that? Pandemic, what's that about? I didn't know. I'm shocked. I'm surprised. Pandemic, wearing masks, staying home. How'd that happen? What did that? That was a shock, a surprise. We are in a world where we are guarded from being totally shocked and overcome because we learn about these things before they happen. We are people, I told you this morning about the Taliban taking over Afghanistan from the news. But we are already in reality and understanding the nature of the world we are in. We understand that this can happen. And nuclear power. And nuclear weapons. And other things. I have a relative who says, you know, don't talk to me about somebody dying from overdose. Don't talk to me about death. Don't talk to me about car accidents or cancer. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear anything about death. I want to just put my head in the sand. Don't talk to me about that. I don't want to hear it. So this is the meaning of this verse. You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes, and it'll be shocking to people. I didn't know. I had no idea. I'm shocked. What? How'd that happen? This should not happen to you and me. We are to be awake. Look at verse 3. It says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them." And by the way, I'll put here on this side, peace and safety. If that's your message that you're listening to, then I'd like to say, everybody wants peace and safety, but wake up. Wake up. We're in a changing world. Everybody wants peace and safety, but didn't God send COVID maybe? Did God send COVID? At least he allowed it to happen to say to people, where are you at? How can you handle this? What are you thinking about? Are you embracing the real world? Do you realize what can happen in a second? Okay, so that's getting pretty heavy, I know. Let's go. Wait a minute. Okay, verse 2. When they shall say peace, and then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I never had a baby before, but my wife has had. And she goes along her way. I remember Bethany lived near us, and her water broke one day, and Lisa, I was home. Lisa said, "Bethany's water broke." I go, "Really? What? How'd she get to?" Well, John is at work. And so, you know, I rushed over there, and her socks were wet, and I got her in the car and drove her down to the hospital, and she delivered Mika early. It was 2 months early. How does it, when a woman is having a baby, can it come on them suddenly? Apparently. They can't know what day it will be, right? Apparently, it comes. So what is going to come? Look at verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, and that day should overtake you as a thief. You are not in darkness. Who are you? Verse 5. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So we have two categories. The day or the light and the night. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So what you put here, sleep. And this one, watch and be sober. How can you watch and be sober? We'll read it here. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let's put down the word drunken. When are they drunk? In the night. Unfortunately, also in the day, too, sometimes. But you aren't this way. You're smart. Not because you're smart, but somehow God gave you the grace to fear him and to be serious with him and to open the Bible and to have a pastor teacher and have each other and provoke each other in love and in faith. This has changed our lives. This has made us a different kind of people. We turn on the TV, now we watch something that doesn't make sense or it's not edifying, and just say, you know, I'm turning that off. I don't like it. I don't want to, that's not me. I mean, that's not where I'm at. That's foolish. I don't accept it. So how come? Because I'm a child of the day. But there are people that live in the night, and I've met some yesterday, and maybe you have through the last weeks. I'm kind of shocked that they're not more engaged and awake and caring and realizing what's happening in the world that we live in. Are you prepared? Are you learning? Are you growing? Jesus said, "Oh, you can discern the weather, but you can't tell that I am here. I am the Christ. I heal the leper, raise the dead, feed the hungry, and I give wisdom, and I give my lectures and my messages that are life changing. And you don't realize I am here." This is what we have found in our local church, a place where I can think with the message. I can love my brother. I can realize I can go out on the street and bring people into the house of God and have them sit here and listen and realize that, wait a minute, maybe it is maybe I need to realize. I remember... Do you remember the tsunami in Indonesia that happened back some years ago around Christmas time? I remember this is an interesting story. Christians were going to meet on the beach where that tsunami happened. But they, because it's an Islamic country, they didn't want the Christians there. So the Christians had to go up on the mountain to celebrate Christmas. The tsunami happened that day and wiped out everybody on the beach, but not the Christians who were on the mountain. They were saved from being wiped out by the tsunami. And I heard there's a Finnish politician who was on that beach that day, and he climbed up in a tree and saved his life, and I think his son also. And later, I think he became president. I'm not sure, one of the Finns would know. But I think of a story like that, of how sudden destruction happens, how people are unaware, how people don't realize what can happen. Because sometimes they're so busy in their life, they're not awake to the deeper things. What's important? Like getting my life in order. One day I will meet God. Well, how can I get my life in order? The best way is really to listen to what God is saying to you in your heart. He will wake you up and he'll say, "You need to be here. You need to trust me. I want to meet you in the morning. I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 Peter." He could say to you, or Matthew 24, "I want you to read Psalm 23. I want you to meditate on the Word of God. I want you to go to Bible college and get a foundation for your faith. I want you to be a child of the day, not of the night." The people that are sleeping because of drug addiction, all they think about is how they can get in the car and go downtown and cop some drug and get high, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. It's a terrible way to live. And many people would say, "It is terrible. How can I get out of it?" And we are here to say, you can. There is God. Let's read it, the rest of it. It says, verse 6, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think that Jesus wants us to live in this world dumb, deceived, misled, drunk, unwise, arrogant, deceived? You think Jesus wants us to live in this world like the world, in sexual activity and foolishness that does not satisfy the longing heart? Do you think Jesus wants us to be drunk and just stupid and arrogant and go about our way? Do you think Jesus would have a church on the earth that would be like that? Would he? No. Okay, so go verse. I want to finish working at it here. Verse 10. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. That means whether we have already died. The Thessalonians had a concern about their sisters and brothers that had already died and are buried. And where are they? And when the rapture happens, what happens to them and to them that are alive? And he's saying that whether we are dead or we are whether we are awake or whether we are sleeping in the grave, we live together with him. By the way, you leave your body immediately when you die. When your body drops, you're gone. You're gone and your body is dead. Your body without the spirit is dead, in James 2:26. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, verse 11, and edify one another, even as also you do. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord, and admonish you. The rest of the text is all of this good instruction about staying awake. And I want to just read this portion to you. Current culture, now we will finish, makes it easy for both individuals and family members to get involved in other activities instead of faithfully attending and serving the Lord in a local church. So many activities today tend to conflict with church schedules. The internet provides an abundance of podcasts, recorded sermons, live streaming of a host of church services. It's become easy for people to do other things instead of attending church. God's word teaches the importance of active participation in a church. Believers must make church attendance a priority in their personal and family schedules and put going to church ahead of other seemingly beneficial activities. There was a time in America when the church was the focal point of a community's culture and calendar. Families would make it a priority to attend church services and functions. Sundays featured several hours of church program. This was a normal Sunday years ago. They had Sunday school classes based on ages. They had the morning worship. The Sunday evening schedule was for teenagers or training. Many families used Sunday nights to get together for fellowship with other church families. Most churches also hosted midweek services, prayer meetings in the church auditorium, and children's programs. Times have changed. The majority of Americans no longer attend church on a weekly basis. Many of today's practicing Christians only attend one church service a month. Factors for the decline are varied. There's like so many different activities on weekends, and the general increase of secularism in the average American. I remember Teddy Roosevelt, President of the United States, wrote in a Saturday Evening Post 19 reasons why Americans should go to church. Here there are 7 reasons why it's important for believers to go. The church is God's idea, and the church is his plan for this age. I do not know about you, but I was like a loner a little bit, independent. Church wasn't interesting to me. I was on my own. I liked to be by myself. But when I heard the word, and I believed in Jesus, and he taught it, the pastor taught about taking up the cross and following God in obedience, and he wants you in the church. And I did that, and I found myself growing in my faith. So, I encourage you. The Bible is clear from the book of Acts, the epistles, that God's work in the world is completed through the church. That's all. It's so beautiful. Number two, God's word instructs us to be involved in the church and not forsake the assembly. The church is where God's people are taught God's word so they can grow spiritually. The church is God's avenue for believers to utilize their spiritual gifts. God's people connect with other believers in the church. They comfort one another, love one another, forgive one another, pray for one another, fellowship with one another. That phrase, one another, one another, one another, is used many times in our New Testament. The church is God's way of outreach and evangelism. The church is a place for effective evangelism, outreach, and global missions. The book of Acts chronicles the story of the growth of the early church. Outreach in the New Testament was always accomplished through the vehicle of the local church. It's obvious from the study of the scriptures. God designed to fulfill the Great Commission through the local church. This is well known. Somebody might say, you know, I'm okay, just leave me alone. I'm on my couch. I'm watching it on the church. I'm watching it online. And just, but we say, wait a minute. You need to get sharpened. You need to be rebuked. You need to be encouraged. You need to be loved. You need somebody to take your hand, touch you with their hand, put it on your shoulder, encourage you. We need the body of Christ in order to fulfill God's plan in these dark and difficult times. I don't think we'll get suddenly overtaken if we are walking with God, because we are children of the day. We are awake. And you learn to rebuke stuff. You say no to things. Come on, say no to things. Get angry about something. Come on, get angry about something. It's normal. If you have love, then you have perfect hatred. Oh, hatred is bad. No, it isn't. Hatred is a good thing. It's another side of love. If you have love, then you will hate the enemy. If you love your son, you will hate anything that would destroy your son. If you love your wife, then you will hate anything that would contradict that love. You are a fighter. You're awake. You're engaged. You're teachable. You're kind. You're humble. You're a servant of God. How did you get that way? The local church. God taught us how to assemble and prepared us for these times, and we are seeing it in front of our eyes. Amen. Okay. Okay, so would you pray with me for the altar call? If you're here today and you haven't accepted Christ yet in your heart, this is an invitation. The loving, loving, almighty God who made heaven and earth wants to say to you, I love you. His arms are stretched out on the cross to include you. There's no one rejected by him at the cross. Come as you are. His arms are stretched out saying, come to me. I will give you a new life. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. I'll teach you, don't be afraid of me, but trust in me. God says to you, Jesus is the answer for you. If anything I have said today offends you, that's okay. We're not perfect. God is using us. God, I just want to point out the fact to you that God cares about you. God loves you. God is not against you. Come to him as you are. Come as you are by faith. He is the one that is perfect, not us. He is the one that tells you the truth in the Bible. He is the one that will guide you in the way to go. He will make you a child of the day, not a child of the night. He'll make you a child of the light, a child of the day, so that that day will not overtake you suddenly, but you'll be prepared because your Heavenly Father prepares you. And say to Jesus, I come to you today in Jesus' name. Anyone saying that prayer, we want to say to you, you are born of God. Walk by faith in him. Trust in him. He will help you. He will answer you. He will fill you. Turn. Repent from your stuff, the bad stuff in your life. Turn. Trust in him. He will change your life. He'll take it away. He did it at the cross. Now walk in him and trust in him. In Jesus' name, amen.